Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Afternoon, everybody. Got your host, James, here. Solo show, but I'm not alone. I got all of you. 715-424-2600. That is the number to call. Call up and join the conversation. Got a great show lined up for you today, and we're able to do that thanks to our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Join them for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Support those that support us. Meet them over on 8th Street right now. Head on over there, everybody. But listen to us while you're doing that. And be sure to be here at 5:30 today because we will kick off the fourth period. We have coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, joining us. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking with all of you. Let's get it going. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, I'll help you out for a few minutes, James, I guess.
How's it going, man?
Well, first of all, we got to say a little rest in peace to James Earl Jones. Kind of a sad day in Star Wars history and Field of Dreams. So,
you know what? I was actually going to start the show there. I have a clip from one of his movies. I am a big fan of James Earl Jones. I had the fortunate chance when I was about 21, 22 to meet him. I took some classes at UCLA, and he came to one of our, as we wrapped up, he came and spoke to us as a class at the end of one of our semesters, the one lone semester I took at UCLA. And he afterwards talked to us, and he was a great talker, as anybody out there would imagine, shared a lot of cool things behind the scenes with us and everything. But afterwards, he took questions, and he answered about like 20, 30 questions and stayed like 20 minutes longer than he planned to and all of this. And then he stayed a little longer and shook hands with everybody. And there were two major things that happened where he was, I couldn't get over, and I don't know if I'm going to say this PC-wise or not or anything, I couldn't get over how the girls were with him, man. Women loved him. Every single woman in that building was all over him, and like women that like were not like that with anybody else. But as soon as they were around James Earl Jones, it just melted and really enjoyed him. And he was just like very humble about it. Did not, you know, was an older man as we met him and stuff. But they were really into him. They really liked him, and the way that he was so. There were a couple of typical, you know, stereotypical California kids in front of me. They were going up and wanted to shake his hand. And right away, they're like, man, you were Darth Vader. And I don't know how I would have felt if I was James Earl Jones and the thespian that I am, that's right. What I'm known for. For him, he couldn't have been happier and handled it so well. And then I don't know what to say to him. And I want to tell him, hey, when I was a little kid, my dad loved The Great White Hope. It was his favorite boxing movie. He liked it more than Raging Bull.
I totally forgot about that one.
I wanted to tell him that. Instead, all I said was, my name's James. I don't like going by Jim. Do you like going? Did anybody ever call you Jim? Did anybody? I don't know what. I just rambled at the guy. And I get done, and I'm mortified. And he looks at me. He's like, I always went by James. I like the name James. I'm not a fan of the name. I'm not a Jim or something like that. And he looks at me and he's like, you look like a James. And just couldn't have been nicer. I shook his hand. I have very big hands. His dwarfed mine. The gigantic hands on the man. I could not. I've seen and I've been fortunate to be around a handful of people with a name out there. I've never been around anybody that had a stronger, kinder soul like he did. And I was around him for maybe a minute tops, and completely influenced me. Taught me that right away, no matter how big you get, no matter who you are, that's how you treat people. That's how you are. You're humble. Right. You stay around longer. You answer questions. You just never know who you can influence. And he was such a cool guy, such an amazing human being, and one of the greater acting careers I will think that there ever is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm jealous now. A little bit.
Well, it was a minute. It was a minute tops. My story was longer than the time I was around him, but he was a good guy. He was a really nice guy, and I appreciate you wanting to start the show there. I'm curious to hear from you. You know, last we talked Friday, I was on my soapbox about playing conditions and the playing field. Oh. I was hitting on this over and over and over again, and I was talking about something, and I didn't go completely all in on it, but I talked to a friend afterwards and another listener afterwards, and they were kind of giving me a hard time. Hey, you hung on that moment a little too long. You may have held on that stayed on that hill a little too long. I should have stayed on there longer.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've had issues going outside the U.S. with these field conditions. If I remember correctly, I think even some of the European games that, you know, over in Europe and all that, they've had issues with the fields with being slippery, and they couldn't figure out what cleats to use. And yeah, it was like even what LaFleur said, he wasn't going to say nothing about the field conditions because both teams had it. He wasn't going to make excuses. Both teams had to deal with the slippery conditions, and I knew. I mean, when you sat there and looked at the guys, if they like scored a touchdown, the paint was coming off on their jersey.
Yeah,
and it just, I don't know. I really hope the league really starts thinking about this. If they're going to go to Sao Paulo or they're going to go over to France and things like that, they go over there, get the fields ready themselves with a different grass or different doing something different, because obviously the NFL's got the money.
Yeah, yeah.
They can do this.
The NFL has enough money. They could import a field. They could have brought the field from Lambeau over there if they wanted to. They've got that kind of money. I'm not over-exaggerating here. They could have easily done, not easily, but they could have done something very similar to that. They could have picked a stadium that maybe it doesn't fill as many bodies, but it's a better field. There's a million things that they could have done differently in this situation. And right now, they're sitting there thinking they did a good thing. This went well for them. They don't care about stars. They can always make more stars. They don't care that much about the players. They don't care that much about the fans. They care about the bottom line. They've proven that.
And
this is just more evidence of that. You don't hear Goodell coming out as the mouthpiece of all of these owners, coming out and saying, well, we really need to reassess things, and we're sorry to have lost one of our faces of our league, et cetera, et cetera. Nope. The NFL did great numbers in Brazil, and you look at the fans and how much they loved it and everything. Like, this is not going to stop. Nobody who went down in that Friday game, which, again, was also a mistake, if you ask me, having them play on a Friday, is going to stop them. None of this is preventing them from doing what they're going to do it next year or anything else. I'm just happy to get more and more of our teams away from this as far as our NFC North teams. Hopefully they're done and they don't have to travel as much. We're getting one of these games out of the way. I'm not looking forward to seeing any of these teams playing overseas, let alone teams in our division.
Right, and you kind of wonder if in the CBA these players are going to really start pushing this.
I think that, you know, it's always got to be said. It's always got to be noted. These guys play a kid's game for a living. They get paid millions of dollars to do it. I'm not asking anybody to be empathetic, especially any of my blue-collar workers out there or anything like that. That being said, I think that we can all relate to good working conditions. And everybody's got OSHA. OSHA's supposed to have all of our backs. Where are they on this? Where are they on this situation? Because if I'm an NFL player, especially if I'm a star and I can afford and I can put my name on something. Dak Prescott was talking about how his holdout and all these things was for all quarterbacks. And he was doing this for all QBs and everything. And whether he was or he wasn't, only him and God know. But this is an actual thing where you really could actually stand up for something, where you could be right. Like, you know what? You can find me. Go ahead and take the money back. Take some of the money back, whatever you were going to pay me for that game. Take it back. I ain't going. I'm not playing on that field. I'm not costing my team. I'm not costing my team 4 to 6 weeks because you guys want to make more money. Like, you go ahead and find me. You can call me an unteam player. I'm doing this for my team. I want to be there in the playoffs. Forget about week one. Where week 17 right. is when they need me. I genuinely think that, and I'm not a fan of players. I feel like that is the last option, should always be holding out or anything like that. I'm not a fan of any of that. But in this situation, when they talk such a game about player safety and all of those things and caring about the fans and fans this and fans that, actually do something. Actually put your words into action, NFL.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all, James. I mean, I've never been a real fan of these international games. You know, I know they're trying to draw, you know, that they're trying to draw a different market, and you know, then there's talk that they may have a couple teams in Europe, so that you have to travel, which that would be totally unfair to the market itself. You know, to have to travel like that. You know, to go overseas, you know, once a year to play a team. You know, especially if it's in your division or whatever like that. You know, go back to do this NFL Europe like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, do the Barcelonas and do that again. And then you can get, like I said, make it, you know, do it as a D league. You know, these guys that are just on the cusp or didn't get a chance to play and they're all in these practice squads, let them, like, just like they did before. And
yeah, yeah.
They made money doing it. I don't understand why they quit doing it. I just,
yeah.
I mean, now that the NFL is getting bigger, try it again.
Yeah.
It won't hurt.
As we are where we are with this in the Jordan Love situation, he's 4 to 6 weeks, it looks like. Matt LaFleur has just recently said that Malik Willis will be a start Sunday if Jordan Love can't. Packers also do not plan to put Love on injured reserve, which means they still think he could be back in 4 weeks. That's always a good sign and thankful to see, regardless of what team you root for. This is one of the more exciting players in the league. You want him available all season long. Do you think that the replacement to get you through the next month of the NFL season is on the roster, or somebody that you, or do you see somebody you want to see them bring in?
As much as, you know, granted, you know, he hasn't had a great career, but he's got many, many starts in the NFL. Why isn't Tannehill being called?
Yeah, yeah.
Why isn't he getting them reaching out to him? Yeah, what happens if Jordan comes back? What are they going to do? Are they going to keep him? Are they going to, because they're going to have to probably pay Tannehill a few million dollars.
Yeah.
Are they going to have to cut, you know, put Willis on the practice squad and cut Clifford again and go from there? I mean, I guess that's where you got to think about it with Gutekunst. So you got, you know, if you bring somebody in like a Tannehill, you know, what are you going to do when Jordan comes back?
I think,
to me, if they should have went after Tannehill in the first place instead of going after, you know,
yes,
doing his trade.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I always felt that. Think of.
I think that you do these things. The NFL is a ever moving thing. And when you made the Willis trade, it looked good, and it didn't seem like a horrible idea at the time. You didn't give up much for him. And there's nothing against in the rule book that you can't have two QBs on the roster, or, you know, something along those lines. I think you bring Tannehill in. And when Jordan comes back, you keep Tannehill as your QB2, as a veteran on that team, because, again, you have the youngest team in the NFL again. No team wins without some veteran personality, without some vets on the team. Why not have a vet who's been through it all in Ryan Tannehill? Maybe he hasn't won the big game or anything like that, but this is a guy who's been up and down in his NFL career, has been known as a great team player, working with other QBs. Ask Marcus Mariota how him and him, those two work together and everything. I think that you have a better benefit right there. And that way, no matter what happens, you don't have to rush Jordan back. You don't have to hurry up or anything like that. You don't have to check his leg every hour. Hey, how's that leg? How's that leg? Any better? Okay. You don't have to do that every hour. You can take your time a little bit more and let him heal up completely. And Tannehill comes into this. Look, Malik Willis is still a young man, is still a person trying to prove himself in this league. That can work for you. It could also work against you. You have a Tannehill come in. He knows his job. He knows what he's being brought in for. I'm coming in as a stopgap. I'm coming in as a Band-Aid. I'm here for a month to do that, and maybe he does get cut, and you keep Malik Willis. Or maybe you let Malik Willis and Tannehill on the roster, and, you know, you come what may. You put Malik Willis on a practice squad, he gets picked up by somebody else, so be it. You lost a sixth-round, fifth-round pick, whatever it is, off of it. Nobody's going to think about this stuff if you're playing in New Orleans in February.
Right.
No, nobody's going to think about a bit of this. Nobody's going to care who the backup QB2 is or anything if you can get to New Orleans, and that's what this is all about. And that organization has proven they believe that they can get to New Orleans.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And the one thing that, yeah, I guess that, you know, with bringing Tannehill in, he has proven to win games. I mean, he hasn't won a lot. Malik has only played three games, you know, started three games.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if Jordan is gone 3 weeks and they lose all three games? You're 0-4.
Yeah.
And you're already projecting you to be 12-4.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season.
Well,
you know, that means you're going to go on a 12-game winning streak. You know, I just Tannehill is more of a game manager. He won't. I mean, you can't really say he won't lose the game for you, but you have a better chance of winning with Tannehill.
If you're a fan of him out there, please understand, I don't mean this as an insult, but I got to watch a little football with my dad over the weekend, and we're watching a bit of the Cowboy-Cleveland game, and he got bored with it. But before he did, he's looking at McCarthy, and he just shakes his head, and he looks at me. He's like, those guys, man, they've always won in spite of him. He just has never really thought McCarthy was a good coach. He thought he had good players, which helped him get a, you know, Super Bowl ring and all that. But I don't know that anybody has ever looked at Mike McCarthy and thought, well, that's just a brilliant coach right there. That's a guy that I think a lot of us feel like is in the position he is because Jerry Jones wants a puppet and had Aaron Rodgers for a handful of years. And honestly, you know, I didn't disagree with my dad. I kind of thought about it. I was like, yeah, I guess I never really thought too much about Mike McCarthy. I tend not to. But if I did, that's where I land on him. He hasn't proven anything otherwise to me, and I haven't really seen him do anything otherwise. We're going to find out what Matt LaFleur is. We're gonna find out right now how much this game is coaching and how much of it is the talent. Every coach in NFL or just in coaching history needs talent. What are you when you don't have it? That's going to be an interesting thing to see play out for them. I was kind of hoping that they were maybe going to be able to take a swing at Jameis Winston. I thought maybe that might be a good move. But you already traded the draft pick for a backup QB. And when you see the breaking news come across that Deshaun Watson's got even more lawsuits coming his way, I imagine they're going to need Jameis Winston in Cleveland. So, yeah, that ship has sailed. That is not going to happen.
There could be some other, you know, there was Zappe was one of another
yeah,
one that was
yeah, kind
of thrown around a little bit. My opinion is I think if Tannehill's out there, you're going to probably have to pay him a couple million to come in because, you know, he knows dang well how bad you need him now.
Yeah.
If they would have done this earlier, instead of besides doing that trade with Tennessee, whoever they made the trade with, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Tannehill probably could be sitting in the driver's seat for a lot of these teams now.
Yeah.
You know, especially after week one and seeing some of that other stuff going on. I mean, look at Tennessee. How in the world do you lose that game when you have all the momentum in the world lose that game to the Bears? And at the end of the game, you're still in striking distance and you throw a stupid pass.
Yeah, yeah.
You eat the ball and live another day or try to throw it out of bounds. Don't sit there and try to shovel it to your receiver, which was covered on top of it, you know.
It's part of what made me feel better about the Caleb Williams performance in comparison, just because I'd rather he was learning things in the fly. And I don't want to make this sound like Caleb Williams had a good game. Nobody in the world is going to say Caleb Williams had a good game. what I saw out of him was hopeful to me and things I saw him building and learning in real time. When I see Will Levis, I don't see him learning these lessons. And I like him. I'm pulling for Will Levis to work out and everything, but he doesn't seem to learn from his mistakes. It's something that happens with a lot of quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, another example of this, who's as far as talent wise and everything, Jameis Winston should be a starting quarterback, but that decision making of his sometimes is just really questionable and keeps him as a backup. Kev, I always feel like I keep you too long, man. Thanks a lot for the conversation.
All right, James, you have a great night.
You too, man. You too. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. At 5:30, we'll take our first time out. We'll come back. We'll have the fourth period. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us. And I almost forgot. I'm sorry, Coach. Not just Coach, but he'll be having Bryce Cooper joining us. We'll have Bryce with us as well. So Bryce and Coach Paul will be with us. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to get our stat of the show in. And I got to be honest with everybody about something while we're waiting for a phone call here, 715-424-2600. When it comes to the football season, high school, college, pros, all of the above, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm really good. Like, nothing can happen this season in any of those leagues that is going to bring me down. My Northern Illinois Huskies had their biggest upset in school history. Arguably the biggest upset we'll see all throughout the college football season. And not just that, but they beat my biggest rival and the team that I will own, the only team I will publicly say I dislike, Notre Dame. I'm not going to be able to top that. I'm not going to be able to top that, man. That felt good. Oh my God, what an amazing game. I told a couple of people that I would be willing to give half a pinky to see NIU beat Notre Dame. I'm really hoping nobody comes knocking on my door, man. I mean, I got gigantic hands. I guess I could afford to lose a little bit of it, but I was just very excited about that. So our stat of the show, our first stat of the show, we'll have one about Wisconsin football a little bit later. For right now, our stat of the show, 1.4 million. 1.4 million. That is what Notre Dame paid Northern Illinois University to come play their by-game contract. One of many college football games referred to as guaranteed games. This is something that programs do, and this is how programs, you know, make money. They come and they're supposed to, you know, go play Alabama or Oklahoma or one of these teams and get beat up. And hey, you get a couple mil out of it. You get to help your school. You can build on that. What's not supposed to happen is what happened to Notre Dame on Saturday. And I could not be more happy about it. There is no bringing me down this football season. Nothing can happen can bring me down. I'm too darn good, too darn happy. I am enjoying this. If you are a Notre Dame fan out there, I do apologize, but I'm sorry, man. That's pretty funny, and I'm pretty excited because that does not happen for my university. Northern Illinois probably is the last time you may have heard about them. Orange Bowl, possibly, or when Jordan Lynch was doing pretty good. But I am sitting here in an NIU jersey right now with a gigantic Joker goofy smile on my face, and it ain't going to leave anytime soon. And this is what college sports can do. This is what sports can do. This has been a hard week, a hard couple weeks for my family. We lost my papa a while ago, and my papa and my dad and I and my brother Nick, sports are one of the things that got us not only together, but bonded us from a young age. And whenever this football season was about to kick off, we all would make the rounds, calling Pop, talking about this or that, getting him some information. All of us were Adam Schefters for him, me in particular, for the longest time. And we realized a couple weeks ago that I picked up my phone. I'll be honest with you guys. I've picked up my phone three different times in the last week to call him and realizing as a fool, he can't answer. He's not there. It's been hard. When NIU won and I was able to talk to my dad about it and we were able to celebrate and excited and all that, we laughed and we were just enjoying the moment more than we have probably in months. We were able to hang out. My dad and I spent the rest of the day on and off talking, going from every other sport under the sun that you can imagine and talking about a million different things, along with remembering and talking about my pop and how much we miss him. And I don't know if we have that conversation without that game happening. Sports, so many of the times, can lead us into these conversations or help us have these conversations. Because it does that for us. It's so much more than wins and losses. There's a lot more to the game than that. We are going to take our first time out. That's all right. We got a couple left to burn. We can go through the rest later. We got a half an hour yet. We'll be all right. When we come back, we got the fourth period for you. Head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to be joining us. We got Bryce Cooper along with. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around for more Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Your host, James J. here. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. It is time to kick off the fourth period. Throughout the whole season, really throughout the whole year, we are joined by GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Coach Paul Peckman joins us for the fourth period. Catch you up on River Kings. Maybe preview some stuff throughout the season. We're looking forward to another great season of River Kings hockey, coach. And not only that, not only do we have a great player in with us, we'll be with you in a second, Bryce, but I do want to get to this right away. 10 years. 10 years. River Kings hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels good, man.
Well, obviously, I'm excited to be part of it. This is going into my third season, right? So catching the tail end of it and to be able to have something like this go on this year, it's special, especially the way we finished up last year, carrying a momentum going forward here. And hopefully guys like Bryce and the other guys on board that have been here a year or 2 years already can get us back to the stage, right?
Yeah.
Get to the dance. That's all we want to do is get to the dance.
Right on.
Anything can happen from there.
Bryce Cooper, forward for your River Kings, is joining us and is coming into his third season with the River Kings. Bryce, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. I always like to let people get a chance to know our players a little bit more. And you being here for a couple of years, they've had a chance to do that. They've seen your play. Let's get to know you a little bit more. Joe's for those that may have not had a chance to or anything. Bryce, where are you from? How long have you been playing hockey?
I'm from Boise, Idaho, and I've been playing since I was four.
Right on, yeah. Right on, man. Yeah.
For a while.
How much, what does this game mean to you?
It means everything to me, honestly. There's not a sport out there like it. I've played pretty much every sport under the sun, and for whatever reason, hockey just grabbed my heart, and there's nothing like it.
What keeps you coming back to Rapids here, other than the great food? They got some great food around here.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Coach Paul, he's a big factor, and then, honestly, the community. The community is awesome here. Everyone shows up for the games and just goes crazy, so it's pretty fun.
We have a lot of fun watching you play. I really appreciate you being here. I'll be coming back to you in a moment, man, but thanks a lot for being here and appreciate it. Coach, what does it mean to be able to bring in guys that know the system, that have the chemistry with some other players like a Bryce, some of these guys that are already, you've had the talk with them. They get it. They understand what your philosophy and the way that you treat this game is.
It means a lot, obviously, right? It means that the trust and belief in the process and the things that we talk about in every stage of his career here, right? It's been different talks because he's going through the different stages. Last year, it was getting opportunities to go to Tier 2 camps, right? Mm-hmm. And wanting him to be prepared for that. So those are conversations that we had last year. Now the conversation shift to college, right? But the preparation and all that kind of stuff is similar. And the expectations are higher, and they're more, we're going to lean on him heavier this year, right? Because of the experience and mm-hmm. and his talent, right? Okay. And that's going to help us get to where we want to go.
I don't mean to. I told you guys there wouldn't be any hard questions, but I do have a hard moment to go to it. I can't help myself, and I apologize. But hockey lost a great in Johnny Gaudreau and his brother recently. And when one thing I learned from my, I think the first thing I learned from my dad about hockey players, it is a family. And that is with guys that you may have never met, guys you just watch play, guys that you are in other leagues, other parts of the world. If you put up those, if you put on those skates, you're brothers. And we lost one there, and a great one, a guy that I really enjoyed watching play, especially at Boston College and stuff. But one of the things that it got me thinking about, Coach, and it's so interesting to have Bryson today, is the way the forward position changed in our lifetime, you know, and how a guy that size wouldn't always be able to make it into the NHL or anything like that. But when you're that skilled with your hands, when you're that fast with the puck, when you are that have kind of that imagination for the game, like Gaudreau did, or a Patrick Kane, or some of these smaller guys are able to, mm-hmm. it really opens things up, not just coaching wise, I would imagine, and play wise, as far as your playbook goes, but it just makes the league that much more interesting, I would sure. think. I think it's been so much exciting to see guys that size, and Bryce being similar in size, I would say, mm-hmm. I think is pretty darn cool to be able to do. It has to be very different coaching wise, being able to coach those guys and have that all incorporated. And it's got to be, I've enjoyed that part of the game.
Well, it's the creativity, right? Mm-hmm. And guys like that do have the imagination and can see and have that vision. He's one of those guys, right? Yeah. So Bryce knows where to be, what to do, and where to put the puck. And as we were going through today, right, we're still talking about swinging and getting into open lanes and being able to feed pucks into certain areas where guys can catch with speed. And guys like Johnny Gaudreau could do it better than most, and it is a sad day. It still hurts, and to find out, I was just reading this morning that his wife was nine weeks pregnant,
yeah.
Right? And I mean, it's just It's tragic.
Big believer in silver linings, and it's beautiful to see the hockey community around the world come together for this and talk about him and support his family and so many of those things, and remind us of you know what this is all about, the life and everything. I'm not talking hockey; I just mean life in general. You had mentioned there is no segue, and I apologize, but I'm glad we talked about that, and I appreciate y'all for that. I mentioned we were talking in our pregame. Coach had the annual blue and white game. How did that go?
I think it went well. Went well. It was guys were playing hard. 5-4, right? Close game. So it was good. It was good. It was good to get training camp, give them a break a little bit. Let's play some hockey, have some fun. It was nice to see all the people that showed up for that. So it was good.
Bryce, how did it feel for you?
Felt good. It was good to take a little break from training camp. Coach works us pretty hard, so
yeah.
Just to go out and have some fun was a good time.
One of my favorite quotes in sports, I heard it from Ray Lewis for the first time, but I've heard other people say similar things in other sports and everything. But he would put it as, they pay me from Monday through Saturday, they get Sunday for free. That's the way I think that a lot of hockey players, a lot of athletes approach the game. It sounds like it was a lot of fun, even just to get out there and everything. You guys are going to be back on the ice really soon, Coach. Where are you going to be next?
This Friday, we're going to head up to UW Oshkosh. We're going to tour the campus, meet the coaching staff, play a little exhibition. And then Saturday, we're going to take Bryce and the rest of the old fours, the 20-year-olds, and we're bringing them up to Northland College, where we have Jude Ayling and Johnny Leppard up there, and they're gonna practice with the team, and so coach can get a good look at them there, which is a great NCAA opportunity for them. And then Sunday we're gonna go up to DC Everest with the youth program that they have going on, and these guys will be refereeing some mini mites and mites hockey and. Taking some pictures and getting to know the community there, and so we're looking to expand. Obviously, we want to get out and get ourselves out there and make people aware of who we are and where we're from, and hopefully come watch.
You're able to do a really nice thing here, where you're not only able to give a chance for these guys to learn from collegiate players, collegiate coaches, get an atmosphere, get that idea of what that atmosphere is like and some of that energy. For some players, that's some first time they've had some of that. For some guys, it's something that they're more used to and everything. You're also able to give them exposure to these coaches, to scouts and some of these things, which is such an integral part of the job for you, I know, and it's such an important part of the job for you. I don't know many people that like to win like this guy does, but the thing that I would put above that, for not speaking for you, but from what I can feel from you, is the benefit of these players and them being able to take their skills to any at the next level or wherever they're looking to take them, and help them be the way where they come here and when they leave, and how much better they are, whether it's as men or players or all the above.
That's what this is all about, right? And ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Hopefully, we win more than we lose, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, that these guys, you're taking boys and you're turning them into men, right? And helping them be prepared for not just hockey, for life, for school, and to be able to hold their own and hold themselves accountable, right? So I think that's what I try. We try to, and hopefully guys get it. And it's always nice to get you get a text from a guy like Kyle Cupolo, about an hour ago, right, asking how the team's looking and how nice. He's doing and how he's getting ready in his camp and all that stuff. And to me, that's what gets me excited. And I love to see these guys do well and progress in anything that they do. And so I'm fortunate to be a small part in their path to whatever they want to do.
Right? As we're getting ready to let you guys go and get back to your day, and thank you again so much for the time. One of the things that stands out to me as we get ready for the next start of this 10th season, and you're building to that, is these opportunities for these players not only be around the college atmosphere, but also putting some influence on some of the younger kids out there and high schoolers and some of that and everything. When it comes to all of that, the blue and white game, all of these things, you're sitting back and watching all of this. What are you taking in, and what is the major thing you're looking for?
From the younger guys?
All the above. Yeah, younger, vets, I imagine it's different for both, but yeah.
Yeah, it just really depends on we have some young guys this year, right? So you just look at development, and it's everybody's at different stages. Everybody's path is different. right? So it's just, I want to see growth, right? And I told him in the locker room from day one when we sat in there, and it's just, I know who you are, what you are. The question is, what are you going to become, right? And that's the process over the next 8 months. And whether it's, you know, the first year to the second year, now his third year, he's grown as a man, right? As a player, and all that comes together, how he conducts himself. He's a leader on this team. And all that comes because the way he is now is not the way he was when he got here, right? So we've made progress. And in that regard, I can look at him and say, you know what? He served us well, and we've served him well. And hopefully he benefits from all that along the way.
Every time I talk to this guy, it makes me want to put on skates and like just go through a brick wall for him. You don't need me. I don't think I do it. I do it for you, Coach. Appreciate the time so much from you guys. Thanks a lot for being here. Bryce, good to hang out with you. You come back sometime, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot, guys. Find out more about your Kings at riverkingshockey.com, riverkingshockey.com, and get ready for a 10th season, everybody, as we help the River Kings build hockey up and down the river. We'll be back with more Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Ooh, was a little off on the timing on that one. Hope y'all are having a great, great Monday afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. Your host, James, here. A big thank you to Coach Paul Peckman for joining us from your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Big, big thank you to him. I want to say a big shout-out to Bryce Cooper as well for joining us. Good to hang out with Bryce. He's a good guy. Good team. So excited for River King hockey. We'll be talking more and more about River King hockey as we get going here. Coach is going to be joining us weekly with our updates. I had a ton of things I wanted to get to today. We talked a bit about the Love injury, talked a little bit about playing field conditions. I'm not going to let off on that one. All season long, everybody get used to it. I'm going to be bringing this up. The next time we have some breathing room here, I want to get into one of my favorite things about college football, and I want to hear from you about it as well. Your favorite rivalry trophies. Your favorite rivalry trophies in college football. It's one of my favorite aspects of the game. What are some of yours? What are some of your favorite college football rivalry trophies? Certainly here in Wisconsin, I think you can make the argument you have the best one. The Paul Bunyan axe. I mean, come on. It's a gigantic axe that you can win and then chop down the other team's goalpost with. Come on! I love the trophies that you can do things with. I don't care how much of a child I sound like saying that. I'm being honest with you. I think it's cool. So I think you can make an argument that's the best trophy, the best rivalry trophy there is. But what do you think? And what do you think of your Badgers so far? 2-0? Badgers getting ready to take on one of the biggest opponents in college football in Alabama. That game, of course, this Saturday. Alabama, and we will have that game for you right here at WFHR. It's an early start time. Alabama going to be at Camp Randall, number 4 ranked Alabama, I should say. I got to see the bits and pieces of the game. Didn't get to watch every second of it, but I did have the opportunity to sit back and watch a highlight reel of it, and a really good one, too, that went through like 20 minutes of the game and kind of sped it up and everything. There's a couple of things that stood out to me. I think C.J. Williams, the receiving core for the Badgers is deep. I think they got some really, really nice receivers. I see what they were talking about leading into the season. I like all of their running backs. I'm a big fan of Chaz, but I even their backups. They got some nice kids that got a chance to get in there and get some playing time at the end of that game, especially running back-wise. And a couple of them look pretty darn good, man. I think you have not only a player who is going to be starting in the NFL very soon, maybe even definitely next year. I'm sorry, he's a senior. Yeah, he'll definitely be starting in the NFL next season. And Hunter Waller, that kid's a beast. That kid's all over the field. He is so much fun to watch. He's not just a hitter. He's a smart hitter. And not only do you think, I think, this weekend they had the Badgers had their Hall of Fame brought in and they announced some new members to the Badger Hall of Fame. I think one day you might see Hunter in that group. I mean, he's having a nice career. I think he's going to be playing on Sundays. He's a good player. But I don't want to take anything away from him, but I would like to talk about arguably my new favorite Badger. I'm feeling comfortable saying this. I think I'm ready to say it. I've had a handful of Badgers. I've enjoyed the Badgers like many of you my whole life out there. My favorite Badger of all time is Chris Chelios. It's the guy that got me to like love the Badgers. And I'm a big fan of like Jamar Fletcher. Just a blast from the past, name from the past. Jamar Fletcher had a punt return for a touchdown in a big game once and was a big fan of his ever since. Longtime listeners out there know that I'm a big fan of Mr. Troy Fumagalli. And so it may not be that surprising that I think my new favorite Badger is Cade Yakimeli. Yeah. Yakimeli, man. That kid, I love a thoroughbred running back. I love a running back that keeps those legs going. That is so much of his game you can't find on a stat sheet. I like running backs like this. I'm a big fan of Cade. I like him. What do you think? What do you think of the Badgers so far this season? Let us know. 715-424-2600. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Got the Badgers involved in our stat of the show. We'll get to that in a second. First, let's get to you. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Speaking of thoroughbred running backs, you'll have Jonathan Taylor coming to town if you're a Packer fan.
Yeah, yeah, JT. Nice to see him have a solid week one. Indeed, that's going to be a nice combination of him and Richardson.
I heard an interesting fun fact earlier on the Dan Le Batard show. Anthony Richardson has only started 17 games since high school.
It's crazy. Crazy. The amount of money that kid's making right now for playing a game that he's not even played a full season. and more power to him, man. I don't blame Indy. That kid, his combine alone, had he not even played any collegiate football and he just came into the combine and did what he did, I could still see him being picked in the first round. We literally haven't seen somebody do what he's done. He broke records at the combine. If he can put it together, if he can stay healthy, that could be a lot of fun to watch in Indy.
I agree. I also think that we are week by week coming closer to my prediction of it's going to be a two-quarterback league, I think, sooner than I think.
Well, especially since the NFL doesn't care what these guys are playing on. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I have not heard anybody really come out and say it as you did, and you definitely got that call, that take. I do think this has been in the back of our minds a little bit, of the dread of you're losing your starting quarterback. If some of our teams, you don't worry about it as much, and as a lot of people like to tell you, there's nobody more popular during the football season than the backup quarterback. Everybody always believes that the backup quarterback could figure everything out. I grew up with...
Unless you're Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike Tomczak. But, you know, either or. There's some great ones out there. There's some great backup QBs that we grew up with and everything. But I'm curious to see what happens with that. As I am talking to a Minnesota fan, though, I do want to ask real quick how you must feel about Sam Darnold, because I'm not a Minnesota guy, but I am a fan of people. And I thought it was pretty cool to see whatever happens during the season, Sam Darnold have a moment there of, hey, maybe it wasn't me, maybe it was the Jets.
Yeah, I think the offensive line played a big factor in that because we weren't able to watch it and I don't have the package. I was able to keep up, and when I heard he was 10 for 10 at halftime, I was like, is that the same guy from the Jets?
Yeah. It's a nice game. Yeah. Nice game. Before I let you go, any takeaways from the first week?
The Packers aren't in first place in the NFC North.
Nicely done. We'll talk soon, man. Take care. Thanks a lot for the call. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Call up, enjoy the conversation. I still don't feel like, especially in the NFL and the amount of playoff teams there are now and everything, you got to wait to see how the next month goes. But I would still be feeling pretty darn good if I was a Green Bay fan. And I, as somebody who has a team in that division, I would still feel pretty good about winning the division, about at the very least being the wild card in that division. But, you know, I also wouldn't take any of these teams lightly, and we never know. And a lot of this is going to come down to who's under center on Sunday and how do they play. Because whoever it is, if it's Malik Willis, that man, that young man is going to have a very short leash because they cannot go 0-4. They can't go down 0-5. You can't have that happen, not this season, not with everything that they're going into and playing with here. And especially now with Aaron Rodgers playing possibly healthy football in New Jersey, which is ridiculous to say. What am I saying? There's no healthy football being played in New Jersey, not on that field. One more stat of the show for you I wanted to get in. Wisconsin. The fun fact about Wisconsin comes not from the football team, but its fans. Students of Wisconsin took the ritual of wave to a whole new level. There are several complex steps. Instead of regular standing up at the right moment, students send the wave clockwise twice. Next, the wave goes in slow motion. Next, the twice faster than the first wave. Then once around counterclockwise wave. And the last wave splits into two, and these waves go into counter rotation. Performing such complex support deserves the same praise as a masterful football play, I would say. Of course, Jump Around has become very famous. It's really become a part of the organization, the school. It's kind of interesting. There's been a bunch of different stories that have broke recently, and a couple of them standing out more than others, I would say. But one of them that I wanted to make sure that we got a chance to touch on before we wrap up today is that NIU beat Notre Dame. And maybe you already know that, but just in case, did you know that Notre Dame paid him $1.4 million to do that? It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It's not really where I wanted to go. I just had to get that into it one more time before we wrapped up today. I will say, for those that haven't heard any breaking news, The Tariq Hill situation looks like it's going to be a bit of back and forth on that one. It's not going away anytime soon. Could still see some punishment from that one. Was a little surprised to be seeing him playing in the game, but then not too surprised. There's another lawsuit accusation against Deshaun Watson of sexual assault going back to 2020 when he was with the Houston Texans. So that is going to be an ever-growing story. We'll see where that one goes. If I was the Cleveland Browns, I would be looking for any opportunity to get away from him. Get away from him, get out of that deal, get back whatever money you can. I don't care if it's $5. They shouldn't have made the deal to begin with. He's never been worth it, not even in his prime in Houston. But no player, no person is worth bringing that kind of heat into your locker room. They overvalue so many of these guys, and no position is overvalued more than quarterback. And I think in history, he's going to go down as maybe the greatest example of this, even more than Jamarcus Russell. The Rams have put a wonderful young receiver, Puka Nacua, to IR. He's going with a knee injury. It does look like Jordan Love is going to avoid IR, as Green Bay is still hopeful that he is going to be able to play sooner than the 4 to 6 week time schedule that his injury is going to need to be healed. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm curious where that one goes. Those are your headlines right now across the sports calendar. Looking at our calendar, we've got some good sports on the radio for you. Join us on Wednesday for the Luke Fickell Show. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one. Coach Fickell, of course, does not just a great talker, but brings you back behind the scenes of the game, and I think gives you a little bit more than some coaches do, whether it's intended or not, to be honest with you. But I do like that about him, and interested to see what he has to say this Wednesday, 7:05, right here at WFHR. And Friday, we will be your tailgate as we lead you into WIRI 105.5, covering at 6:50, Lincoln High School hosting Stevens Point. Battle for the Jug! It's here. Looking forward to it. Oh, it's going to be a good game. I want to try to get down there. And Saturday, 9 a.m. kickoff, or 9 a.m. pregame, I'm sorry, for Wisconsin hosting Alabama, the Crimson Tide. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. A little Steely Dan to play us out. I apologize. Wisconsin hosting Alabama. Going to be mad time in Madison. It's going to be a fun one. We'll be back Wednesday. Have some more fun with Playmakers. Thank you so much to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate them sponsoring the hour. And a big thank you to all of you, the best listeners in radio. Have a good afternoon, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.